Welcome inside the Coach's Room, the number one podcast for football coaches that want to develop. Every week we talk to elite coaches and backroom staff to hear about their experiences, how they develop and how they develop their players.
Technical skills you can directly see. Everybody is watching an amateur game of 14-year-old and everybody see the technical player. Everybody see the physical player, but nobody sees the intelligent player. Just sometimes, just some small things, but not, you cannot directly say like, oh, this is the intelligent player.
In this episode, we talk to Wouter van Brugghen-Fock and Laurent Vrielink. Wouter is a former professional youth coach. He coached at Ajax and ADO Den Haag, and he founded Footjebal. And Laurent is the founder of Tactalize, a company that coaches players through video analysis. This episode is maybe a little bit different. We talk to each other every week. We talk to each other about business, about life, about football. Mainly, we keep each other accountable for our performance. So, with any further ado, enjoy this episode with two good friends of mine, Laurent and Wouter. We are already recording.
Yes, okay.
We recorded all our conversation though.
Oh, but this is no joke. We just started. Okay, guys. Welcome inside the coach's room, but we are in a classroom, Laurent.
Correct.
Why?
Why? Because I'm teaching this week video analysis to students of the HVA of Amsterdam. They can choose... They can choose this course to do it the week and get some introduction with the video analysis and coaching players.
My intern is in your class.
This is true, though.
She's very, very satisfied so far.
Yeah?
Yeah, yeah.
She's great to hear.
Very happy. Okay, Wouter. So
she's impressed.
She is impressed. Yeah. She had to do some stuff for me, but in the same time, she was looking at footage that you sent her or that she had access to through you or something.
So yeah.
She's not doing my job. She's doing your job.
That's good.
Okay, guys, maybe some context. We talk to each other every week and mainly football related or business related because we are all three entrepreneurs. Is that how we should call it?
Yeah, definitely.
We have very interesting talks every week. So I decided, okay, why just not put a microphone in between and just listen to each other? But now the focus is coaching and player development. And to start with you, Wouter, because you already were quoting something that was on your wall.
Yes.
What's the most important in your office? And you had a quote.
Yes, the most important thing in my office is a quote. I went to a shop and I bought some wooden letters. And I put three words on my wall. And this is basically my main philosophy. Is I am potential. Is on my wall. So I try to approach every human being who enters my office, someone with potential.
Okay. So you're looking in the potential of somebody. You imprinted that in your head to look at potential first.
That's my mantra, yeah. If you look for the good in someone, you always find something.
Okay, so not paper, not a laptop, whatever, no.
No, every morning I come in, it's big on the wall. It's the first thing I see, and it's the last thing I see when I leave my office.
Okay, great. For you, Wouter? Oh, sorry, Laurent.
Yeah, for me in the office it's very difficult because I work remote.
Yeah.
So for me,
digital nomad.
Definitely. Yeah, so for me, it will be definitely my laptop, and I try to save everything, literally everything, on my laptop. My new knowledge, my books, my work, everything is stored on my laptop. So without my laptop, I probably feel naked.
Okay, but what do you do on your laptop? That's good to tell, maybe.
Basically, not everything, but like working, developing, studying, reading, everything like that to structure in my life, write things down, new ideas. Google is my best friend to see new things. So it's great.
Okay, but you're still not telling us what you're doing. So what are you doing? When you're at work, of course you're structuring the whole day, and you are the most structured person of all three.
Yeah.
So, but that's not what you do.
No, basically, I mean, you can use a laptop for a lot of things, and basically I use it for getting knowledge for my work, for my self-development. All these three things are important in my life to make the best version of myself and to get my office close to me.
Okay. Now, what I was trying to ask, but maybe it was not clear, was that you use your laptop to show footage to players. That's literally what you do.
That's literally what I do, yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Because can you explain a little bit to everybody that's listening what Tactalize is or what you do?
Yeah, with Tactalize, we develop the tactical knowledge of professional football players, not only first division players, but also youth players. We try to increase the knowledge of understanding the game by showing either footages of top players or footages of themselves. And by weekly analyzing their games and studying the game together as a coach with the player, you see that their awareness, their understanding is developing and that they can put it in the trainings and on the games.
Okay, so I am, well, no, there is a talented player or there is a player. He wants to get better. He calls you, Loran, I want to be better. Then you say, okay, just log into my laptop. I will help you. That's very practice, simple, but you will take clips, for example, of Van Dijk. Okay, what does he do?
Yeah.
What can you learn from that?
Yeah, we try to mix it because every player is different. So we don't look only to Van Dijk, but then also we look to Chiellini, Sergio Ramos, Matthijs de Ligt, Stefan de Vrij, to really understand the differences between these players, understand the differences in competitions, but as well understanding what is the main aim in a game situation. Like they are all in 1v1s in all different countries, but what is the aim to execute it the best? So we look to the optimal responses in that specific game situation to execute it that you will be successful as a defender, for example, or offensive situations.
Okay. And how does a basketballer know what the right choice is?
That's a long story, my basketball background, yeah. I think that football can learn a lot from basketball, also on the contrary as well. But the thing is that in basketball, everything is more structured because you have 24 seconds to execute something to get a chance to score, or you need to have a potential score option. With football, it's not like that. So with that, it's so structured that every offense you have kind of a code, what you're going to execute. And with football, there's just 22 players interacting to each other and you will see what happens. And of course, there are some structures what the coach is willing how to play the game. But still, there are many, many things like open, like how to run in depth or how to support, all these things. You can do that everywhere on the field. But with basketball, it's more clear because the amount of players is less and the field is smaller. Yeah. So the execution is more crucial than in football.
So less variables, so more controlled, so better understanding of smaller details.
Yes, I think so, yeah, because the body is the same. Like everybody have a heart, but every heart is always a bit different from every person. Football is exactly the same. Every game situation is exactly the same, but also still a bit different. And if you identify every cell of the game situation or the cell of your heart, you will better understand how the function is in that.
Yeah. Okay. What do you think of this, Wouter?
That's a good question. I totally agree. I read a lot of basketball books and two things come up. First thing is John Wooden, the college coach, who taught me the importance of doing the fundamentals well. So the fundamentals, do it well, and then look at complexity and speed. So that's one thing. The second one is I read a lot of Phil Jackson books, and he taught me the offensive triangle. And I think that is a pattern of trying to score a goal in basketball.
Yep.
And they work with principles. So that's when I when playing with patterns and fundamentals and principles came up to me. So Yeah, I agree. I agree that every situation has some things you know, and every situation is totally different. So knowing the basics and knowing the fundamentals, and then the rest is awareness and creativity to solve the solution in the moment. But to better understand the game could be a real, real value for players. Definitely, yeah.
Fundamentals is something I hear you saying a lot. Now you come up with it as well. I didn't know the term. But what is it?
I think fundamental is the basic of... It can be technical fundamentals, can be tactical fundamentals, physical fundamentals. It's the basic of everything. And
can you... example?
For me, sorry to... But if you look at John Wooden, even tying your shoelaces is a fundamental. So
that's what he states in his theory?
It's the way you enter... The way you do everything with awareness and be in the moment. So taking care of your shoes, putting your socks right, everything. If you have the fundamentals right, then it gives you space in the head to excel. So if there's too much chaos and things are not clear, and you don't understand the situations, then you don't have space in your head to be creative. So that's what he...
And he means execution of the task or of the simplest task, movement, whatever.
Start with simple and then build it up to more complex.
Correct. 100% correct. And the thing is that if you understand the basics and you don't need to think about the basics anymore, then you have time in your head, what Wouter is saying, to execute the creative things. But if you don't understand the fundamentals, then you need to think about every game situation you are in. So if you don't have structures inside the game, you need to think about every action you are doing. And the more you think, the less effective you are in the game.
Okay. So if I know, for example, my first touch is always perfect, you don't have to think about your first touch. You can think about where it's going to be. Is that
correct?
Is that how I should think?
If you technically do the first touch very good, then the fundamental in high performance football will be, do I do it always to the right direction? Yeah.
Feels like isolated, but this you do it with footage, so you look at what people are doing. It feels a little bit like isolated that technique training. Those more technical basics, but of course you said you have everything, so you have it in looking or head movement. That's big,
head checks.
Yeah, head checks, big subject for you.
I think. Depends on the level. I think if you start with really young children, then it's more isolated. And when the players develop, you put it more and more in context.
Yeah, okay. Because the isolated fundamentals are already there, so you can move up or...
Yeah, then you can make the situations more complex.
Okay.
So you ask more of the brain, but then the fundamental has to be... unconscious, and then you can make the situation more complex.
Okay. Is it something that you do as well? Because you have, okay, just to give some context, you are the founder of, in Dutch it's Voetjebal, which is football for kids from starting from 2.
Yeah.
Till 6.
Am I 2 to 6, yes.
Yeah. But you also have a football school. Or is it, how do you say it in English?
It's a football specific play program.
Okay. Yeah, that's Voetjebal, but you also have Acumen, which is football school, I think. Is that the right word?
Yes.
Private football academy, that's a better word.
Yeah.
In those programs, do you work with these fundamentals or this way of working as well? Is there a connection between you guys?
No, I don't think so.
No, not
we work with foundations, but it's more because I'm really in the young. I think the situations that Laurent is working with professional footballers and a higher level. So we are really trying to teach the children the basics of the game. But I think
basics, is it the same as fundamentals? Because that was what I'm thinking about.
I think it is. But the thing is that you divide it. Like with young children, for example, the first touch, you need to understand the technique about it and you need to move away from your opponent. With the high performance, you talk with them like, which area do you want to push your first touch? And that's different than with young children.
Yeah, yeah. The approach is the same. You, of course, look at different... Or am I searching for something that's not there? Could also be. But
I don't know.
And that okay, you are learning kids the basics.
Yes.
And Lauren is calling it the fundamentals. Is it starting with the true basics of football? And does it connect with your vision on developing players? Maybe yes. That's the long version.
Yes. So in my vision, it's about executing the decision. So where you see in many private academies, it's all about the execution. With us, it's the execution of the decision. So there always a player always has to know why he's doing something.
Okay.
So Not only doing a step over, but why are you doing a step over? Because I want to create a chance and I want to score. Okay, so that's your intention. And then your intention, you have to execute the intention.
Yeah, and our next step is perception. So we start with the perception to make a right decision and to execute it in the right moment.
Yeah, so the moment before the choice.
Yeah.
Okay, why is this so important?
Because I think in these days, the people forget the fundamentals. They forget the basic. They want to already make it complex instead of executing really the basic things, what's happening. A simple head check. It is so simple. Everybody understands in the crosswalk that you need to look left, right, left. But the basic footballer is not doing that enough in the game situation. So still, if I work with top performers, top players, they still don't do enough head checks during a game. So you first go back to the basics and understand when to do that head check, understand what you want to proceed with that information, how you proceed it in your brains, and then how you execute it with your feet or with your body. And I think the fundamentals give you a basic insight of everything. It's like the whole game is divided into the fundamentals. And if you execute the fundamentals well, you understand completely the whole game.
Okay. Agree?
Yeah, totally.
What I was thinking while you were saying that is, you experienced these problems with players, even the best players in the Netherlands, which means they already been trained for how much? 20 years?
Yeah.
And not a lot of them are taught this. So the problem is not the players. The problem is the coaches. So the coaches don't know the importance of this.
And that's what you say.
That's what you solve.
Let me tell you a little story. When things became clear, I was coaching my son, and he was always in a higher youth teams. So, but as boys are, when he turned 15, he said, "Okay, I don't want to go I want to go to a team with only friends." So he went to a lower team because the trainer in the higher team was thinking he was playing Champions League, and the boys were not having fun anymore. So he said, "Okay, I quit because football is a hobby for me. So I go to a lower team with my friends and I'll have some fun over there." So of course, on a Saturday, I don't care if he plays in a high team or in a low team, I went to see his match, and these boys were, I think, 14, 15, and they were in a football academy. I think we have in Holland, we have 3,000 football clubs and pretty high level amateur football. So he went to the lower team and he was playing with guys who were 10 years in an academy. 10 years in an academy.
Professional academy.
No, amateur. But okay, they were 10 years in football education, as you call it. Because when children enter a football club, they are taught football.
Yeah.
None of them knew what they were doing. Oh. Then I thought, okay, so this is still the gap, because they were all taught only about execution. So in circuit training, do a double step over and shoot on goal. Why are you doing that? They don't have a clue. If you have the ball and you get it from the keeper, what are your options? What do we try to achieve? What do we try to achieve? What are we looking for? They don't have a clue. And then for me, that was the trigger to say, okay, I have to teach them the game instead of I have to teach them the execution.
We tell them what they need to do and we don't let them think. The funny thing is, in life, you need to think how your future life will be, right? With everything in your business, in your work, everything, you need to think like, what is my next step to do? But the football player is not thought about that. He's just listening to the coach. The coach tells him exactly what to do.
And so what you do is actually learning them to gather information.
To understand what they are doing and why
they
are doing
it. The next step is, okay, this is my context.
Yeah.
And then what's the best choice and then how to execute it.
First step is the context. Like, in what situation are you? And there's not one time, because that's what a lot of times you hear, like, hey, I do something wrong and I hear it. So it's monkey see, monkey do. But if you want to learn something, if you want to understand something, every week you need to train it multiple times to understand why something is successful or why something is not successful. And that step is really missing, like a methodology way of understanding why you do what you do.
Coaches, sorry for the interruption. But besides the coaches room, I run another company called Football Tours. This is a full service touring company and we organize pre-season and winter training camps for professional football teams. We do this for both senior and youth teams and we take care of everything. Hotel, training accommodation, friendly matches, whatever you need. Also, we give youth teams the opportunity to train at the best youth academies of the Netherlands. Academies like PSV, Feyenoord, AZ Alkmaar and the KNVB, you can train there with your team. So, if you are a professional coach, you need to organize your training camp, or if you have a youth team and you want to train at the best facilities and the best academies of the Netherlands, go to footballtours.com. And now pay attention. Tours is with a Z. So footballtours.com.
Laurent, I have a question for you. Can we compare it with getting your driver's license? Then you have a theoretical part and you have a practical part.
Yep.
And basically we only teach them the practical part and we forget the theoretical part.
Yes and no, because also in the practical part, you're directly going to sit behind the wheel and you need to drive directly.
That's why you need both.
You need both.
Yeah.
And as well, there's somebody next to you who helps you a bit, but still you are searching it yourself because you are completely in the environment. But he gives you guidelines. And if we put a player in a training, then for me it's like the game teaches himself.
Yeah.
Like, you can get a certain level with a certain talent by just playing football. Just make the hours of training and you can go to a certain level. But that really nice tip or advice from somebody who's next to you, coaching you to help understand you things, for me that's crucial. And that's what I want to do with all my players, is doing it every week with them. I don't want to coach them one time per 2 weeks or 3 weeks, because for me that's not successful. Every week I coach these guys to let them understand that exactly the same situation. And with driving is exactly the same. The same corners, the same roundabouts, the same times you need to put your lights on. All that things is somebody is guiding you. And it's not like you are alone training. And not driving is, I think, more simple than playing football. Because there are less options. But the options in the football, the decision you can make are so much.
I hear a problem that coaches, maybe it's a time problem or number of people on the pitch. But as coaches, we stick to organizing a session, putting down the exercise, making sure that the exercise flows, everybody understands it, and the players, which is also fine, learn through the context what they need to learn.
Correct.
Which is, if you can manage that, you are already a pretty good coach.
100%.
But going to
developing players.
Yeah, developing a deeper layer of knowledge or deeper layer of solutions. That's, you should have five coaches. Okay, why did you lose the ball? I didn't see him. Okay, why not?
Yeah.
That could be an intervention that now you do with video.
Yeah.
You could do it on the pitch straight away.
Yeah, 100%.
But you need five people.
Yeah.
For example. So this is the problem that you experience. They know how to play. They know how to play the game.
Yeah.
They all understand the rules.
Yeah.
But they
don't know what is the most effective thing in the
And that's right what separates, let's say, 98% or 99% from that 1% that 1% is elite, because either they are so talented, they feel that they have to scan 100 times. Yep. I think Frankie de Jong is an amazing example.
Yep.
We were talking about Busquets, how good he is, but we know he had checks naturally already 1,000 times a game.
Yeah.
But most of the top talents, you need to learn this.
Yeah. And I think if a player, I mean, for example, Frankie, when he was younger, he was always dribbling and he liked dribbling. And because he liked that, he always did that. And that's why he becomes so good in it. If you do a head check and you see the value of that, that it gives you more time and space, or you know then where you need to put your first touch, then you're going to do it more. But the question is, have you ever found a boundary, the boundary where somebody either tells you, hey, next time, look over your shoulder and see what's going behind you. And if that really connects in your brain, or you hear that, sometimes it's one thing, you directly change it. But most of the things, you need to hear it multiple times to change your behavior. And that's the thing, like, we are saying it one time. Yeah, I told that player that he need to turn open. Yeah, but he's still not doing that. Did you teach him or did you tell him? That's a completely difference.
Yeah. And I also think there's a difference in if you need to manage manage an exercise and you need to manage 16 players.
Yeah.
And you need to manage the rule, whatever. You need to let the session flow. You don't have time to pick out that one player and in every move, and you do. And that's why you are so valuable, I think. Because you have an hour and the only thing you do is gathering information with the player. Or it's asking him, did you gather information? Why or why not? And what did you do with the information?
Correct.
Okay, so how do we fix this problem with coaches to put you out of business? No, that was a joke. But but is this to solve? Because
it is 100%. It's easy to solve, in my opinion. If they take youth academies more seriously, and they see that what you are saying, five coaches, for me, should be mandatory. There should be a coach who organized the session. There should be two coaches who are coaching the teams, and there should be two coaches who are coaching individual players. Then you have not the best ideal situation, but a really close ideal situation to develop players. And I believe if you change 1 year the whole behavior of a player, you can sell him next year for $5 million. That's not so difficult, but you need to put every week attention to that player next to their team. It's not that one is better than the other. You need to combine it together. So every club should have five people, like coaches of Tactalize, that they really focus only on the individual. Because the funny thing is that all the clubs know that only one or two players per year going to the first team. But why not increasing that level? Do they really believe that they can increase that level? And if they do so, then they can earn more money than buying a new player. So it's just a business model.
It's five guys doing this a year cost $500,000.
Maybe.
And top players, you pay that in 2 weeks. So
pretty good salary done for me. But
it's an easy financial job, but I understand. Okay.
So why is it not happening?
Why are you looking to me? Yeah, I'm not working in the
group. You're the only one solving this problem.
Yeah, no, I don't know. I mean, I've spoken with some clubs, but still they don't see enough value on it. And mainly they see us as video analysts, I think. And for us, we are coaches and we coach the players.
I think that's interesting what you're saying. You don't see yourself as an analyst. No. You see yourself as a coach. Well, 100%. No, you don't see. You are a coach. You coach players.
Yeah, and that's the big difference.
Because if you go to any old-fashioned club and you would say to the main coach of a team, would you let your analyst coach the team? No, that's my job, man.
Exactly. That's the main thing.
Yeah.
And then they say, like, we have the analyst to make analysis, and we have the coach and assistant coach, they talk with the players.
So is there... My first idea now is there a problem in the way we are organized around teams? Because if I think at this in a larger scale, football teams and clubs are run by head coaches, by technical directors. I don't know the English word, but it's a mountain and whoever sits on the top is the boss. So it's very hard for a head coach to see his staff around him as equal as football is now situated. The culture of football is not like this. You are the boss. You have an assistant. You don't have an equal. You have an assistant.
You didn't choose him.
You are the boss of the physiotherapy. If you say run on the pitch, she or he runs.
Mm.
It's never, there's no equal circumstances.
Yeah.
But if you are a team that coaches a team, and this is the authority level, doesn't matter who talks to the player.
It is like that, because also the analyst, why can an analyst not talk with the players on the pitch? He's seeing all the games. He understands how every detail is going on because he's studying the game the whole week. He's looking to so much football every week. So why can he not speak with the players to develop them?
Is this something younger coaches do at the moment already? So if you look at maybe Nagelsmann, is he...
Yeah, but then the head coach is doing it himself.
Yeah, okay.
And maybe also some assist. I see it more coming.
Yeah, so maybe it needs some time to...
Could be. With
younger coaches.
They take video analysis much more serious. That for sure. But still, on the individual level, they can so much increase the value of it.
But I'm thinking we did a podcast with Bradley Wall, head scout of the Wolves, when he was moving to the FA. I don't know which team it was, but and he was working with maybe U21s or something. I don't know. And the head coach sat down with him every day to explain everything about his philosophy. So he knew everything that the coach knew. So he was, he actually had to sit down with players and explain what the coach, his vision was. There I had the idea, okay, the head coach installs in his vision to the people around him so they can represent him, let's call it like that, in any talk. But this is could also be, okay, this is not fundamentals we're talking about, but this is more creating a performance environment around the team.
Culture.
Yeah, a culture that everybody knows everything, so anybody can say anything. I think that's where a lot of teams and clubs go wrong, that only a few, okay, the head coach knows everything, the assistant coach knows 50%, but the analyst has to tag moments, whatever.
Correct. I think the video analysts don't get the appreciation they should get from the clubs. It's more like a shitty job in a club, in my opinion. Because you are filming the trainings, filming the games, tagging the games, and give it to the head coach. Yeah. That's it.
Yeah.
And I think these guys know much more about football than people expect.
Are they, I'm going into this, is that also the culture of a club and the dressing room culture? Probably. The video analysts are... more and more high educated guys. You could call them a little bit nerdy. I don't know if they ever kicked the ball. This is an assumption that everybody makes. So, no, I'm the head coach. I played whatever. Or I am on the pitch every day. I know how the dressing room works. Yeah. So this is the culture. Am I doing assumptions?
Hard for me to say. Sorry.
Yeah. No, okay, no.
I haven't been in pro clubs my whole life yet. So.
Okay. Well, I have.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, what I think is that game intelligence, maybe what we're talking about, is going to be the next big thing in football. It's already the next big thing in football, and it's going to be even more and more important, because basically that's a field where there's still, you can win so much, and there's so much space for development. So I think in the next couple of years, this is going to be more and more important. Principle of game intelligence.
Yeah. Everything that I stated just now could be completely true, or somebody is now listening, what the fuck are you saying? This is not true. Then please reach out and tell me how it is with you guys. Okay. You are, let's say, installing this or these ideas on top level. You work with kids and players of all levels.
Yeah.
But there you also said, okay, they hardly know the context of football when they're in it.
I think if you look, we already talked about high level players, but if you look at more recreational players, this is something we can use to make young players fall in love with the sports and not losing them at a younger age. Because I think if your motor skills are not that well for elite football and your technique also, but if you fall in love, if you understand the game and you fall in love with the game and you understand it, then I think the chance that you will continue to play the game is much bigger and much higher than you don't have the abilities to execute at a high level and then you don't understand the game. I think that's a guarantee for a dropout. So for me, what I see in real life is that children who are not that talented but understand the game, they have so much more fun. And so both, I think, in high-level elite football and in recreational football, game intelligence is something really something to look for and develop for children. Yeah,
it's underestimated because technical skills, you can directly see. Everybody's watching an amateur game of 14-year-old and everybody see the technical player. Everybody see the physical player, but nobody sees the intelligent player. Just sometimes, just some small things, but not, you cannot directly say like, oh, this is the intelligent player. No, the technical, physical, the mental guy who's always shouting to the referee, we can see that as well. But who's the intelligent player?
If you look to a game, can you see it?
I hope so.
And how?
Good question. You can see it in small things, like an head check before you receive the ball. If you look to 12-year-old players and you just look to that simple thing, you can see already a starting understanding of what could benefit myself as a 12-year-old player to keep the ball. Or going even lower with, let's say, 6-7-year-old who are, all the kids are running towards the ball. But there's always a moment that one kid is going out of the group.
Yeah.
And that player understands like, hey, if I move away and somebody passes to me, I'm completely free. That's the first step of game intelligence. To understand like, hey, if I move away from the ball and somebody passes, I'm open. So that are the basic things with really young children, what you can see already and understand that.
Okay, and then what should we do as coaches? My kid is 5. He's not the one kid that runs away. He's the kid in the middle that kicks the ball against 5 centimeters on the other kid and whatever. But, I think an issue there is also the level of people or the number of people that are even there. So how do we make sure that we create this understanding with players?
Or this
understanding of context or...
With 5 years old, I would say let them play.
Yeah, yeah, sure. But
maybe two principles. The principle, okay, we want to score goals and we want to
defend.
Defend, but that the opponent has, we have to
prevent from scoring.
Prevent, yeah. Sure. So that's basically to, if you teach a 5-year-old already these two principles. So if you the main thing is, we want to, if you play a match, you want to win it, and if you, it's not about making winning the most important thing, but if you play a match, you want to win it, and therefore you have to score goals, and therefore you have to prevent goals from the opponent. Two basic things, and for the rest, just let them play. But you can remind them both. So what people want to do, and that's their first understanding of the game. If you look at learning how to write stories, because I think football matches are complex stories. Then you first teach them the alphabet, then you teach them simple words, and then more complex words, phrases, and then you ask, okay, now you write your own story. So build it up from really simple to more complex principles, and that you teach them. And from a 5-year-old, it's more about discovering and learning how to play on a pitch with their friends and having fun, but basically two principles. And then the next step could be more complex, and then you build it up. So just like you are in school learning math, a language, or just the same way you can approach football.
And the thing is that we go too fast. We expect already from 12-year-old.
When you were telling this, I was interested. If you step into a dressing room of seniors, I don't even know if they can explain these two principles.
I don't think so. No, that's the problem, because we look at execution and we don't look at decision making.
The one specific moment when you have the ball and what you, but if you look at the whole bigger picture, let's put it down to two principles. I don't think 90% of any player could solve this puzzle. Coaches. Once a month, we organize the Pro Coaches Room, an online meeting exclusively for professional coaches. In this meeting, we exchange networking knowledge, and almost all the guests that you've listened to in this podcast are in this group. So, if you are a professional coach, you work at a professional academy, want to join this network group, find me, Arend-Jan Kranenburg, on LinkedIn, send me a message, and we can add you to the group. It is a wonderful group with a lot of value. So, professional coaches, make sure you join it. If you are not a professional coach, but you also want to be part of such a group, make sure to follow us. Follow us on our social media, keep track of our platform, because after the summer of 2022, so this summer, we will start more groups of different levels. So I can assure you there will be a spot for you as well. And now you hear, coach, okay, I have 16 principles, or we have 100 principles, whatever. Every moment is detailed, but if you don't have the bigger picture, I think that's already a solution there.
It's a complex sport, and we expect that everybody understands it. But in the end, nobody understands it really. Sometimes for one player, I speak only about 4 or 5 small details a whole year. A whole year. Understanding a head check before you receive the ball is not something what you train in 1 month. It can take 6 months. With some players, and as well understanding which moments to do it, or your body orientation, can take 6 to 12 months before you understand it. And that is, we believe that if we say it to a kid, that he directly can implement it, but that's impossible.
Are we overcomplicating football then in the younger age, you think, Arthur? Because
I think we're putting too much emphasis on execution.
Okay.
So maybe when they get older, then it's more about tactics. And I think back to what Laurent teaches his players, you can talk about tactics if you know the basics. But if you start with tactics and the children don't know the basics, then you have a problem.
Yeah.
So first of all, if you want to be able to read the game, then you have to play with your head up. So the children have to see. So back to the basics, just start with the fundamentals, the foundations, and from there build it up, and then start talking about tactics. And when you start talking about tactics, that's too complex.
Yeah.
So too much focus on execution, I think, and on tactics. And we need to put more focus on understanding the game, and from that go to tactics to win a game.
Sure. And if you look at how to execute that on the pitch, because now it's also a trend for coaches to create the most phenomenal exercises with 15 types of balls and 6 colors of shirts.
Yeah.
You have a square in a square, which is in another square, and you cannot be in the middle square because blah, blah, we all know this. Okay. I've had some very interesting guys telling me why, and I also believe in chaos and creating adaptability. But maybe the thing is, okay, we are putting those kind of things too fast on players that are not completely ready for it.
Yeah, I call that the game factory. So what do? Every week you give them another exercise who looks very well, and then everybody is really impressed. Wow, look at these guys going. And flow is pro. So once an exercise flows, then you're a good coach. We are all getting stressed if something is not working. In my opinion, if it's not working, it's an opportunity for the children to learn and to create solutions. So, yeah, for me, the game factory is really important. I will try to explain in English. What I think is really important, if you go to a museum and you walk past all the paintings, and every time you see a new painting, and you ask, okay, what do you see? You say three, four things, and then you go to the next painting. But what if you stand the whole afternoon staring at one painting, and I'll ask you the question over and over again? So, okay, what do you see? I see this, this, this. Okay, what do you see now? I see this, this, this. So what do you see now? I think then you're developing insights and game intelligence, not showing another painting every time. Now looking at the same painting and finding different things. So that's my opinion on the exercise. Can be really simple, but look in depth and what can you find in this exercise and what can you develop? And for me, that's more important than teaching and showing the most impressive exercise with colors, bibs, and et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, yeah, it does look good on Instagram.
Yes.
100%.
It's not really what it's about.
It's player-centered approach. I think that's where we find each other. It's about the player. It's not about me. I'm just there to facilitate. I'm not important. It's about the player, so.
Agree?
Yeah, well, every word.
I'm not on Instagram, so.
So you never see them?
No, because I don't care. I don't care. Nobody has to see. It's up to the player if he wants to post something or do something. It's not up to me.
Roger Bongaard from VVV. You know him?
Yeah.
He was in our last episode. He said, yeah, we call them Twitter coaches.
Yeah.
These guys make the
look at
most creative exercises. And then if you copy them and do it on the pitch, it never works. It's not. Oh, he said a good thing. It looks amazing, and for those three or four players that are in the middle of the action, it's perfect. But then you don't see the other eight players on the outside waiting.
Yeah.
Which is also interesting, which we also now see a lot, that you have these crazy exercises. You have to 15 jumps, then you have to pick red or yellow, then you have to jump through a hoop, and then you have to walk, blah, 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 and then you take a ball and you shoot it right in the corner. And then, wow, this guy is amazing.
Yeah.
But then you don't see the other 11 players waiting for their turn. Yeah, interesting. Okay.
For the thing is that in my job, I speak all the time with players. And I hear also the story of the players. And also in the coaches' room, you talk with coaches. That's great. But I think as well, it's so important. So after an exercise, ask your players, what did you learn? Because we don't involve the players. We create our own exercise. And then we think we teach them something. But you can only verify that by asking the players and talking with your players. And all my players are saying the same. I don't learn anything. I just do the training sessions and I don't understand what we are doing. Sometimes we do exercise. I don't have a clue what we are doing. He's trying to create something, but I don't think it works. Talking more with your players and understanding what they are feeling, what they are learning, that is for me so much more valuable than creating your exercise.
Okay. What is their solution? Do you also talk with them about this?
With the players?
Yeah.
Most players, they ask me to become their trainer.
That's
definitely not their
solution.
You're
like a band-aid.
Yeah. No, I think the coach should talk less with each other and more with the players. Sorry, that's very bad for your podcast.
We should call it the players' room.
Yeah, I really believe that that's the main thing. Like, you are teaching them. Ask them what they think about the exercises. Ask them what they think about the play. Ask them what they think about the vision of the club or the vision or the formation or the things. They need to execute it, not us. We are retired. We were amazing 10 years ago, 20 years ago. But they need to do it now. Ask them, not us.
Is there a culture that players can tell this?
No. They don't feel trustable to tell to the assistant coach or analyst. Sometimes they talk with the analyst because they trust them. But then in the end, it always comes with the head coach. But they either, if you have a smart player who is either tactical smarter than their coach, I see it. they put them on the bench because they want to become the smart ass that the head coach is thinking, oh, now he knows it better. And then they put him on the bench. No, the culture is that the head coach decides what the formation is. He decides who's playing. He decides everything. And I think also these days, the better coaches, they really listen to their players, what their opinion is.
Is there any situation, I'm not thinking, while you were talking, I was thinking about this, sports or business or whatever, where this is equal and where this environment is, let's say, self-thought, everybody understands, okay, there is leadership because somebody has to point out where you're going and, okay, there are followers. But is there anywhere where this culture is there?
I think in many, many businesses.
Of course, yes.
In all businesses, it's so much more normal that you listen to the employees.
It's old-fashioned change management.
Or in education.
Of course in education and in business. It's old-fashioned change management, top-down, against new change management, bottom-up. You see more and more in businesses that bottom-up is... basically, everything happens in interaction. So everything you think of, when people start interacting with each other, then everything changes. So it's narrow-minded to think that you as a head coach can think of an idea and other people will execute it. So for example, if you take the color blue, and my idea is the color blue, and I say to the players, okay, now we go to the pitch and we play according to the color blue. For player A, color blue is light blue. For player B, color blue is dark blue, turquoise, whatever. So that's the moment you tell, then the diffuse starts. And then they go onto the pitch and they interact with each other. And from the interaction comes reality, comes meaning. And the meaning, that's what's most important. So they create the meaning. I don't create the meaning. They create the meaning. And then we have to observe and facilitate and work with them to create common meaning together. But putting my meaning in the heads of others and thinking they will follow and execute, it's against all scientific about how organizations work. So that's something we have to leave behind really quickly, working with people and organizations.
That's also maybe what we all three don't work in a pro club at the moment.
If somebody tells me what to do, I'm gone. Yeah, I completely agree. But I'm thinking, like, how does this work? A coach, whether it's amateur or professional or youth, he spends so much more time. Players are less involved. But they also have a lot of other things to do. Be prepared, physical, for training, whatever. There is no involvement of players, let's say, in this process at this point. So you have a development plan. Yes, okay, that's what I'm hearing now. Okay, players can develop themselves. Sometimes you already hear, okay, then you have to make your own training sessions. Okay, I think that's already something that we were already...
Yeah.
Okay, that's something, okay, pick a small group. These are your goals, that you have common goals, whatever. Make your own sessions. Then as a coach, you're only the facilitator. You maybe ask some questions how it can be better.
You facilitate problems that they have to solve.
Yeah, or...
Exercise is a problem. You create a problem and they have to solve it.
Yeah, no. I mean, example, Feyenoord, U15s, I think David is doing, or other clubs. I don't know the exact example, but you have a group of 16 and maybe you have four groups of four that all have... let's say common goals or goals that are relatively equal. You put them in small group training. They design their own session with the four of them. Yeah. And as a coach, you know, of course, more about session design. So you could help them. Okay, if you do this and this and this, it will work even better for your to accomplish your goals. I think then you're facilitating and you're like this guide or mentor that helps them. Coach, the session is not working. Why? Okay, if you put the cone there and there, whatever, or you make it bigger, smaller, whatever. Then you are facilitating and they are thinking about how. And the next time they know as well how the session works. Okay, guys, this is your strength. You're playing this opponent. How does your game preparation look like? Okay, coach, I think if I beat him on the outside five times, then we'll be successful. Okay, good luck. Then he does his own game preparation.
I really like that. And the thing is that that's one component of the game. Because that's the most of the time, that's the execution. What about the physical then? Do they also do it physical? Do they also do it video analysis?
That's exactly the point. So how, as a person, do you spend your time? And especially in youth development, a coach works, as in a professional development, works 50, 60 hours.
Mm.
A kid goes to school 20 hours a week.
Yeah.
In that surrounding or in that part. Then he has maybe 20, 25, 30 hours left to invest in themselves, which is already half of the coach. So the coach has a lot more time to think of what's good for the player. So he can implement much more of his own ideas in that part. But how do you, and then while the coach is putting up the session, kids have to prepare, maybe have to do movement training before they actually go out on the pitch. So there's much more things that a player needs to spend his time on to instead of thinking about his own development.
Yeah. And there's also a question, can a 14-year-old player, is he able to do that?
That's interesting.
You can start with some basic things that you could think about. I don't know.
You work with 14-year-olds?
Yeah.
You think they are capable?
No.
No?
I really think you need to take them with hand. You can ask them questions, and we should ask players more questions than they are used to do. But creating their own training, they need to think about their game. That's good, but they need guidance. You cannot put them on a screen and watch their own game and say like, okay, what are your tips now? What kind of tips would you give them? You can start a bit with it, but
I don't know. Designing training sessions, what's the main purpose?
Yeah, good question.
I agree on that they have to think. So they have to think and they have to solve problems. But
yeah, it's not
what problem do you solve by
for designing sessions is not the main thing. It's more creating a play or a culture,
self-awareness about themselves.
Yeah, and a culture where people are responsible for their own development.
Okay.
But then
designing your own sessions is a part of that.
Yeah.
Thinking about how to prepare physical is a part of that. Thinking about what you should eat is a part of that.
I agree, yeah.
But then if you look very practically, it's simply a time influence. Okay, as a 14-year-old, where can you spend your time on?
Yeah.
Nowadays, a 14-year-old can figure out if he wants the perfect diet, but he doesn't have the time.
Yeah.
So it is, if you want, like I said, okay, we just said, okay, there are businesses that have this completely equal culture and it's bottom up instead of bottom of top down. But in football clubs, players just simply don't have the time, at least not in youth.
So yeah, correct.
Until they get a contract, they are top down managed.
100%. And as well, even if you do that, spend that 2 hours on thinking about yourself, and then the next day or the next training, you go to your coach and then it's top down again. So yeah. Also the culture, they try to do it with 1 or 2 hours per week, but 80% is top down culture. So what is then the value? Then they should think about all the four aspects in football and also think about the formation and think about who should play. Then it's everything. But now we try to do 5% changing, but in the end, it's still top down. So does it make sense for 14-year-old?
Yeah, while I'm talking, I'm trying to solve this, but we're not getting there yet. But it's interesting.
What you're talking about is teaching them self-regulation, right?
Yeah.
So you're teaching them self-regulation. So to be responsible for their own development.
Yeah, that could solve a lot of the issues that we stated, let's say, in the beginning of this hour.
Yeah, but if you don't know what you don't know, what do you need to solve then?
Yeah, I agree.
I think there are models and there's theory and there's how it works in reality.
Yeah.
So you can teach a child models and you can teach them self-regulation, but how much of the real responsibility do you give to the player?
Yeah.
And I think that's important.
But so at the same time, Lauren says, okay, we can give them all the responsibility in the world. They still need the basics.
That's why I don't feel like you... I mean, I believe that we should listen more to players and not let them make training sessions, for example. No, we should listen to them, what they like or don't like about session, and let them understand everything by questioning them. Every training, you should question them, either physical. Why do you do this exercise? Why do you think this trainer created this for you? Every training, it should be a questionnaire of letting players think. The future coaches or the big coaches now, they let their players think every training. They want to create new environments where they shoot in. They talk also with their players.
Yeah, and I believe that if you question them in hindsight of a session, sure, then you get out of them what they learned from that session. If you let them think before the session, so you let them design or whatever, you get them involved, then they think before the session. So they are much more involved. I think the learning effect will be much higher if they are pre-involved in the session.
Definitely.
Whether it's designing or, well, we can discuss the way you should do it, or if it's a pre-game talk, whatever. So this was my approach to this. Okay. In hindsight, yes, you should check. It's a check.
Yeah.
But
okay, so if you look at unintentional blindness, so the more people know, the more they are blind of solutions. So if you let a player, just a question, if you let a player design an exercise and he knows what he wants and he's in the context, then he's only going to look for the results he's looking for.
Yeah.
So he's missing a lot of information. So maybe designing the exercise could be not a good solution, because then you create unintentional blindness. Don't you think?
Yeah, could be. But I think for sure. I think there's good sides and bad sides, I think. But now you have a player coming on the pitch. Okay, he does whatever the coach says. And then maybe the context gives him what you think, you as a coach think that he needs. Then at least he thinks, okay, what do I want to improve? And by thinking about what you want to improve, you are much more aware of your goals. I think that's the main thing.
Yeah, okay, I understand, yes.
So I don't know if they have
for goal setting and personal development, I agree.
Yeah.
Because your learning motivation is much higher if you go to a pitch, and then if you go to a training and you know what you want to develop, instead of just going there.
Yeah. And if for example, if you want to have a player that wants to improve his first touch or whatever, and he's going to design a possession game with short, small spaces or big spaces, he will realize, okay, the small spaces will benefit me much more. I have to be much more aware of my first touch. And as a coach, we are there to guide them and maybe also change.
Yeah.
Okay, now with this, halfway, I make it bigger, I make it smaller, more opponents or less, whatever. But yeah.
I'm curious, is a 14-year-old player able with his, we have POP conversation, personal development conversation with the club, so he knows what his strengths are and his weaknesses. So is a player of 14 years old able to train every training consciously about his weaknesses? Or strength?
I don't know.
I think sometimes I think the question is really simple. If in your working environment, if that's your working environment, then and people are asking you to work on your weaknesses the whole time and consciously, what it will do with your confidence and the pleasure you get out of your work.
Mm. I mean, if you are conscious about something and involved, scientific is proven that you get more benefits of it, better results. But if you don't know what you're going to do in a training session, you don't know where to go. And then it's unconscious blindness. And I'm very curious if 14-year-old players going every day to a training and they train, they want to make happy, they want to play with the ball. Do they really think, oh yeah, today I'm going to train my first touch to the left side over my overfoot that I can cross it with my left feet to the other side.
No, not in those details. But yeah, if he knows that these are, but okay, before we go any further, I was thinking, okay, we are not enough on the pitch to maybe be the experts on this. So hopefully we're going to have some responsive guys. You were fucking up, man. You're completely wrong. That should be good.
Hopefully.
Yeah, I think what in my opinion, what I saw with those personal development plans, I think in most clubs, to be honest, it's a waste of time. I think in most companies, it's a waste of time because it's a three talks you have in a year. And then you start at the beginning of the season and in the middle and then in the end. And for the rest, the development plan is going somewhere in the closet. And oh yeah, we have a conversation about your development plan again. So I think most organizations better quit with that or do it well and keep everyone to it and stick to the plan and do it. But I think in 80% of the organizations I worked for, it's a formal thing and yeah.
And then you need 5 coaches because you have 24 players per squad. You have one coach who is checking that every week. That's impossible. That's completely impossible.
Yeah. Well, that I think that we can agree on. It's resources.
Yeah.
Those are lacking.
Yeah.
Whether it's recreational level or it's professional, it's still resources. That's a big conclusion. And money is not an excuse. So if you can pay a transfer of 28 million, you can invest also $500,000 on 5 guys that look at, because you can look at multiple players. There's no problem.
But if you look at business, those development plans talks, they are going out of the yearly.
Out of the corporate world. Yeah, sure.
Because the 5 minutes talks on the work floor every day, every week are much more important than...
But maybe to counter that, we do, let's say, an evaluation every week with the 3 of us, and that helps.
That's every week.
That's every week.
So then it works.
You should find, let's say, such a strategy or such a process with players, but then you need more. Again, you need
frequent talks. Frequent talks.
Yeah. Okay. Okay, guys. How long do you think we are already talking about?
An hour.
Well, how long? You had to leave, right? The 4:30.
Ooh.
Do you have some time?
I have some time left.
Okay.
Yet.
Okay. And now this is player development. I want to talk to you guys about your personal development. So it was a nice bridge. We do personal development every week with the 3 of us. Sit down, Zoom. What the fuck did you do this week? Lauren is always the best. He always has his list. Yeah, I don't know if that's a little tick he has, but. I was wondering how his house looks like. But he never shows because he has this Zoom background. It looks never like he's in a decent office, but whatever.
Yeah.
How do you guys develop? I know, Wouter, you wake up at 4?
5.
5.
3.
5. The most important thing in my life is meditation. So if I meditate an hour in the morning, then probably I'll have a good chance of having a good day. So that's number one rule for me. Development for me is just like with every player. It's not linear, it's non-linear. So I have good weeks, I have bad weeks. But I try to with the meditation and try to focus and stay on track and working with my weekly schedules, setting goals, talking with you guys every week really helps. Eating healthy, so creating an environment where I can excel and some things I can control. And I try to control the controllables and some things I can't control, and then I try to adapt. And sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't, but don't get stressed if it doesn't work, because that's life, I think. And acceptance is also something you learn to meditate. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
You, Lauren, your development is completely linear. You don't do curves.
I'm trying more and more, but
wait till you get kids.
Yeah, probably. I will wait with that then. I wake a bit later up. in the morning. Also, I try every day to be conscious, and that's by filling it just a schedule. It's a simple schedule where I try to get the ice bath every day or cold shower, training every day, food every day, meditation or reading for me. I'm not so good in these two, by the way. The reading I changed. I had an ebook. I bought an ebook. Went in the beginning very well. Nowadays, I look more to YouTube and I go type in the book and look for animation movies. And I see that it works better for me. So I adapt to that. That's also my laptop again with my remote job office. So more better than that for me. And I accept it more because I'm conscious about the process I'm into, that I accept also my failures or the things that I don't get it how I really want to have it. And the consciousness every day, just filling it in, standing still at the moment, that helps me the best to focus. And either I go train directly in the morning or I go directly working. It helps me to put my phones away, just focus on the things what for me is the most important thing at that time or the things what I want to get done. And then you enjoy as well the free moments more.
Well, the reason why we always ask this question, and I do ask it now after such a long discussion about player development, is that what I think is very valuable and maybe how I develop is that I always look for people that can learn me something. And you guys are two of them. And especially for football coaches, I think this is so important. Because, okay, we do it more, let's say, in life general, and we talk football and we talk business. But as a coach, you're almost always stuck to yourself. Okay, there's a head of academy or whatever. Or you're in this club culture, which is very one-dimensional. So I really enjoy listening to you guys, and okay, we have the complete rigid guy here and the completely meditating flowing guy there. But it's an interesting way to learn and to get influenced by other people. So this was my assist to myself asking you guys the question, but I think it's very important to learn from others as well. So yeah, personally, I'm very thankful that we do this together with you. But I would recommend all the coaches to do this. Find a group of coaches outside of your bubble and talk to them once in a while. Okay, what do you do at the club? Or what do you do? How do you prepare your sessions? Or how do you evaluate sessions? Or how do you sit down with players? Or whatever. But try to get information from outside your zone or outside your bubble. Because I think that's where you grow. Yeah. Because football can be very one-dimensional. Driving up to the club, there's hardly time to talk to other people.
Yeah.
So make sure you find that. Yeah. And also for players, it's also interesting. That's why Lauren talks to players outside of the club.
Yeah, definitely.
So it's for good for everybody. Yeah. Okay. Well, we're doing it with the three of you. I wouldn't recommend any more to join the group. Three is perfect. 45 minutes. That really works for us.
Yeah. Okay.
Good final question. Did you nominate or did you think of somebody that we should talk to next?
Just give me a second.
Okay. You?
Yeah, I have a person in mind directly. It's Helen. She's a women coach she's originally from London, if I'm correctly.
Okay.
She's now coaching in Iceland. She has coached boys and girls. As many... she has trained every year. She's really, for me, one person who is really into football on the fields every day. And I really think she is admirable with that, how much she has experienced in that area.
Helen?
Yeah.
Last name?
She will hate me probably right now.
She's a very good friend, I hear. No. Doesn't matter. Helen from Iceland. Perfect.
There's one guy I would really recommend, and he's called Professor Thijs Homan. And
okay.
He's an expert on change management. And the basics of his theory is about the complex and chaos theory. And I think in modern football, more and more coaches are talking about that. But he's really an expert in how to change organizations. And I think as coaches, we if we learn more from change management, that we are working in an organization and we want to achieve something, that's about change management. And I could recommend every coach to read books about change management, really talk and listen to Thijs Holman, because he's a really reading expert and a big source of inspiration for me.
Okay, and what is his background?
Change management.
More like corporate or sports, or doesn't really matter.
It's corporate.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. But I think coaches can learn, because I think if a coach sees himself more as a manager, also you're managing a team. You're a football trainer, but you're also a manager, and you want to achieve something with an organization, and there's science behind that, how you can achieve that. And it's not all about football, it's also about organization, people, groups of people, and could be a real good add to your knowledge.
It connects good with the culture that we were describing before, and could be a nice follow-up.
Yeah.
Okay, great, guys. Anything we haven't discussed or anything you want to add?
Probably any too much, but
any last
we will
advice?
Discuss that next week, right?
Yeah, sure. We can do this once every half a year or something.
I really enjoyed it. Thanks.
Yep.
I'm really looking forward to our next meeting next Wednesday.
Next week. Okay. Okay, guys. Thank you very much.
Thanks.
Thanks.
If you liked this episode, share it with your colleagues, share it with friends, share it on social media, like, subscribe, do whatever you do best and help us grow. Because the bigger we are as a podcast, the bigger and the more inspirational names we can invite to inspire you. And do not forget to pick up your 14-day free trial at thecoachesroom.com. With your free trial, you have access to all our masterclasses, both the live ones and the on-demand ones. Coaches from top European academies share their knowledge and you can watch it. So go to thecoachesroom.com and pick up your 14-day free trial.